So let's welcome really Jesus and his word through Pastor Andrea.
Praise God. What an anointed time of praise and worship that was. Aren't we blessed with our worship team? Really, I think a round of applause, yes. Thank you, Jesus. I was just thinking, you know, when the angels really announced Jesus' birth, the shepherds on the hillside, a multitude of angels appeared and said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward all men." And that really just communicates the heart of God to every man, woman, and child on this planet, in every generation, for every generation, on earth peace and goodwill toward all men. And with that in mind, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, isn't it? I love it. I don't know, that may not be good news to you. For me, the longer the lead up to Christmas, the better. I love it all. I literally do wish it could be Christmas every day. You know, the decorations are starting to go up in the shops, the adverts are coming on TV, and with it, there can be a bit of apprehension because it can cause pressure, can't it? A certain amount of pressure with all the things that we have to do. And the word that the Lord's given me this morning, I don't believe there's a person in this room would say, "Well, that's not for me." It's for all of us, because the message I have is how to overcome pressure and live in peace. Praise the Lord, we can. Turning your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 5. Mostly I get scriptures put up on the screen, but I just wanted us to look at this one together in our own Bibles, because I want that to stay on the screen for a bit. Romans 5, verse 17. It says, "For if by one man's offence or sin death reigned through the one," that's Adam, "much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. That's the will of God right there for every one of us, to reign in life through Jesus, ruling and reigning. If you're ruling or reigning, you're in control, aren't you? You're not under the circumstances. You're over, ruling and reigning. Just say reign in life. Reign. Okay, it's a lovely thought, isn't it? Not getting through your days by the skin of your teeth. Ruling, reigning, triumphant, like a champion really, a winner. You know, it's not that life's all easy, but with him, led by him, we can win anything, any issue, any battle. You and I have got what it takes to reign and to win in the face of any challenge or difficult circumstance. And it doesn't always feel like it, and it doesn't always look like it. You know, some days you feel like you can't even conquer your to-do list, never mind the devil and all his demons, you know. You feel pressurized and you feel overwhelmed. But this is why we need to learn how to overcome pressure and live in peace. Not in pressure, in peace. Pressure, I'm going to give you a definition of pressure. Pressure is force produced by pressing. And that's how it feels sometimes in circumstances, doesn't it? It feels like you're being pressed, squeezed on all sides, and we're all familiar with it. Too much on our plates, too many demands, difficult circumstances that don't seem to change. It causes pressure, this pressing, pressure, pressure, pressure. And if you and I were a cartoon character, we would look something like this. Melting. Or alternatively, something like this. Steam coming out of our ears. Neither is good. It's not good for us. It's not good for the people around us. You look, we're well aware when really we look like that, aren't we? You know, you might try and cover it over, but on the inside and quite often on the outside, because the mask slips, you're like that. And it is really not the overcoming life that Jesus has paid for. We heard about it in communion. He's paid for us to live in this amazing peace, supernatural peace, unreasonable, surpasses understanding. But this stress and this pressure, it's like a disease of our time, really. The culture that we live in is pressurized. Everything just heaps on. And you get one thing sorted and you kind of feel I can breathe a bit better now. And something else crops up, doesn't it? You know, you suddenly, that kind of comes together and I've got that sorted. But then I didn't see this thing creeping in from over here. And that's supplying pressure again. And Jesus warned us about this in John 16, verse 33. He says this. I've told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. Just say take heart. Take heart. Another translation says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now I remember reading this years ago, and I think I actually said it out loud. This is not good news. You know, you just told me trouble's coming. How am I meant to take heart or be a good cheer, look on the bright side? Trouble's coming. That's not a good report. It's not good news. But underlined there are the key phrases, really, that we need to focus on. In me, you may have peace. I have overcome this world. In me. So let's unpack that. He's the Prince of Peace, right? We know that. We're in him. And he's in us. Prince of Peace, in us. He has overcome the world. Has. He's already done it, right? He's already overcome the world. He knows how to do it because he's already done it. And I want us just to consider Jesus, really, a moment. He knew all about pressure. He was surrounded by pressure and pressurized situations. He was rejected. He was criticized. He was falsely accused. He was followed daily by huge crowds, always wanting something from him. You know, even when he tried to get away for a bit of a break and a rest, they followed him, always wanting more. Some of us may feel familiar with that, you know, giving, 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 but everyone around us always wants more. It's never enough. And this was going on, and his disciples, who he'd invested in for years, they had their shining moments, but quite often they were pretty disappointing. And all the time, he knew the cross was looming in his future. That's pressure. Let me put that to you. That is pressure, pressure, pressure. And the difference between us at times and him is that although he was in pressurized situations, he didn't let what was on the outside get on the inside. Now think about that. He was in pressure. Pressure was all around him. But he didn't let what was on the outside get on the inside. He let the peace of God rule. Oh, think of that. He let the peace of God, which is a powerful substance, rule his heart. And that's what we're to do. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, on the inside. It's possible. It's possible to be surrounded by pressing circumstances and sometimes even pressing people, but remain at peace. Unaffected, calm. One of the definitions of peace I was reading is to have a quiet heart. I love that. Quiet heart. Calm. Might be loud on the outside. It just can't be loud on the inside. A quiet heart. You might have a busy schedule and you might have so many demands and pressures on the outside. But if you're letting the peace of God rule you, you won't flap. And you won't flip. You'll stay calm. And it's so important. It's so important to stay calm. Not just for your kind of sense of well-being. But it's only in peace that we hear the voice. It's only when we're at peace, in a calm state, really, we hear his voice and can be led by him. What a privilege that we can hear the voice of the Father. What a blessed life. It's available to all of us. But we've got to learn from him. Jesus said, didn't he? Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Rest for your souls. But learn from me. Learn how I do it. We need to learn how he let the peace of God rule whilst in pressurized situations. He didn't react to pressure. He didn't let pressure lead. Think of that. He refused to let pressure lead him. I'm just going to retell a story that we'll all be familiar with. Jairus, he was a ruler in the synagogue. Do you remember his daughter was dying? His 12-year-old daughter was dying. And he begged Jesus, as you would if your child was dying, begged Jesus, come to my house and heal her. I know you can. And Jesus, I think, probably agreed. But he walked through the crowd. And it was in that same kind of period of time where the woman with the issue of blood, who was in faith for her miracle, reached out to him to touch the hem of his garment because she knew, if only I touch this man, I'm going to be healed. Of course she was. Faith worked. Jesus actually felt power go out of him. Amazing. So this little girl's dying somewhere down the road. This is all going on amongst the crowd. And he stops to have a chat. He didn't allow the pressure of the circumstance of this dying girl to stop him from finding this woman, because he needed to confirm to her, lady, celebrate. Your faith has made you well. You are healed. Go in peace. He took the time. Now, during that little kind of event going on, the little girl dies. Jesus gets word, Jairus' daughter has passed away. We would have felt pressure. I'll raise my hand. If that was me and I was to be the one to go to the house to heal this little girl, and I heard she died, I'd have felt pressure. I'd have felt even a sense of responsibility. Had I got there sooner, this wouldn't have happened. Not Jesus. He didn't feel pressure. He didn't feel pressure. And he wasn't moved by pressure. He simply turned round to Jairus and said, don't be afraid. Only believe, she will be made well. Don't be afraid. See, he was in faith. The circumstances weren't moving him. The pressures weren't moving him. Believing God is peacemaking. Believing God, I think we've got it on a slide. Believing God allows peace to rule us. Faith and peace are absolutely connected. If you're in faith, you will be at peace. If you're not in faith, no peace. Believing God allows the peace of God to rule us. Pressure can't rule if the peace of God is ruling. You will have one or the other. But we're not to be moved by pressure, and we're not to react to pressure. Because the greater one than pressure is, in fact, on the inside. And if the peace of God is ruling, we stay in control. You see, Jesus stayed in control. Wherever he went, he led. If we're in control, the enemy can't have control. It's when we lose it, we're in a dangerous place. And he wants all of us to lose our peace, and he wants all of us to lose control, and he wants all of us to get into a panic and react. React. Just say the word react. The enemy pushes us to react, pushes us to respond to pressures. And that leads to problems, doesn't it? It leads to even greater pressures. I'll lift my hand and say I've done it in the past, and bad has gone to worse. Reacting to one thing has caused another problem. Because it does. When we react in the flesh and we let the enemy get our gander, do you know what I mean? Ruffle your feathers and you react, problems multiply and increase. And it's so hard to hear God when you're not at peace. In fact, we can't hear God. You can't hear God when you're in a panic. First thing you need to do is get back to peace. It's the kind of prelude, really, to hearing his voice. And we need to hear his voice above all others. One thing I am absolutely convinced of more than ever before, I live by his voice. Matthew 4:4, man cannot live by bread alone. You can't live by what this world can give you alone. The only way you can, you'll survive and you'll exist, but you won't live. You won't have the life of God in you. We can only live, be truly alive, by hearing the preceding word. The now word, the word that the Holy Spirit is highlighting in this book. And so we need to shut ourselves away because there's so many voices that compete for our attention, aren't there? And we need to shut ourselves away and we need to quieten ourselves. I was thinking, I think it's one of the Psalms where it talks about, I've quietened my soul like a weaned child. You know, children before they're weaned, they're screaming, they're wanting attention, everything's pressing and urgent. It's like you've got to calm your soul. Calm yourself, really. The way I do this, I speak peace scriptures to myself. You know, I go into my bedroom and I just sit down on my beanbag because that's my meeting with God place. I think I've said this before. It's really good to kind of identify a time and a place. It's helpful. But when circumstances are screaming and I'm feeling pressure on the inside, I'll just sit. And I just start to speak some peace scriptures to myself. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. You just calm down. And you hand things over. But, you know, we've got to learn to do that. To quieten ourselves. To push out all the other voices that are loud. and lean in. Lean in. What I mean by that is incline your ear to listen for the one voice. His voice. The voice that shatters every fear. The voice that breaks the yoke of the enemy. The voice that comforts, brings light in the darkness. That voice. You've got to lean in. We can hear his voice, you know. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. Our problem is not our ability to hear his voice. We're designed to hear his voice. Our problem is that we listen to too many other voices. Voice of reason. The voice of emotion. The voice of experience. All talking. Shut them out. I refuse to listen. The one voice I need to hear and I want to hear is Jesus. Quieten yourself, get your Bible, sit and listen. Read until he speaks. You've heard me say that before. Read until he speaks. And in that place of peace, you see, you start getting sensitive to his voice. You detect his voice. And he will speak because he's a faithful God. But we have to protect our peace. Just know that. Without peace, you can't hear him speak. The most important thing in your life and my life is hearing him speak. So we must protect our peace vigilantly. Vigilantly. And the Lord said to me quite a while ago, you need to recognize your peace stealers. Your peace thieves. Better English, isn't it? So I'm just going to run through a list of what I've identified. In my life, it may be the same for you, but you'll have others as well. But the first one, of course, is anxiety. You're in no way at peace if you're anxious. Anxious thoughts running around your head, not trusting Jesus. The Bible says another word for anxiety is care. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Don't live with them. Cohabit with them, throw them off. It actually means like a fisherman. You know, a fisherman casts his line out. He throws it away from him. We need to throw our cares away from us, over to the one who can actually do something about it. And the word care there, it actually means to have a divided mind. When you're anxious, Your mind's divided. You can almost literally feel it at times, can't you? So many thoughts pulling this way, that way, the other way. I can see it from that perspective, but then from that perspective. And what about that? I need to consider that. And it's pressure, pressure, pressure. Divided mind. Can't think straight. Can't think clearly. No peace. Anxiety is a peace stealer. Okay. Second one, strife. Oh my goodness, I don't even like the word, let alone the outworking of this one. Strife. Strife in relationships. Conflict. Friction. Underlying stuff. Strife steals our peace, and it steals our peace quick. And the enemy stirs this up, let me tell you. Yes, flesh, but the enemy works behind to stir up strife through outside things. Natural circumstances, natural stuff, you know, and you start to feel something rising up in you, and it's not the peace of God, let me tell you. It's a little bit of anger or irritation, strife. And we need to deal with it God's way. Jesus said, if your brother or your sister sin against you, don't meditate on it and stew over it. Go to them. Go to them, but not in a spirit of, I told you so, I'm right, you're wrong. Go to them in a spirit of gentleness and seek reconciliation. You know, reconciliation and peace are a more important goal than being right and getting what you want. Because let me tell you, getting what you want will come and go. But the rewards of unity in the home and peace amongst each other are far-reaching, far more rewarding. And so you may need to forgive, you may need to ask forgiveness, but you go in that spirit of gentleness. My goal is reconciliation here. Let's find some middle ground. Let's find a place of agreement. We need that. Brings me on to the third one. Lack of boundaries, no agreement at all. You may have a lack of boundaries in your own life, in your personal life. You know, if you don't have boundaries in your personal life, bad goes to worse. Just say to the person next to you, bad will go to worse. Let's not have that. If we don't have boundaries, when temptation and pressure come, we give in. We cave. Boundaries that are set beforehand protect us. I'll do this, but I won't do that. I'll go there, but I won't go there. I'll watch this, but I won't watch that. I'll eat this, but I won't eat that. I'll drink that, but I won't drink that. Come on, all the practicalities of life, boundaries. And if you don't have agreed boundaries in the home with the people you live with, your husband, your wife, your children, your friends, your lodger, whoever it is that you share with, everybody will do what they want, and that is a breeding ground for chaos and strife. Isn't that right? Yes, absolutely right. It's like a pressure cooker environment. And so lack of boundaries are an absolute breeding ground for the enemy and an opportunity for him to steal peace. Right, how you doing? Just turn to the person next to you and say, this is ever so helpful. Right, okay, number four. Oh gosh, who can fall into this trap? Trying to do too much and rushing. Let me tell, look, I'm not saying I've got these all worked out, but I have identified them. And I know to watch out for them. Trying to do too much and rushing. I think I've mentioned this before, but I kind of used to approach life like Usain Bolt. I don't even know why. I'm sure the enemy was behind it. But it's like I used to try and do everything the best that I could, but as quick as I could. Everything happened at speed. I would literally catch myself running around my own house. Not just outdoors, like up and downstairs. Like, oh, do the washing up as quick as I can. Everything, chop as quick as I can. It was crazy. Just really stupid, actually. But I put myself under this pressure, and the rushing on the outside stole my peace from the inside. Can anybody relate to this? A few. Busyness shouldn't drive us. Simple as that. Your schedule shouldn't drive you. Think about Jesus. He had a busy schedule. Think about the crowds. The demands were constant. There was no let up on him or on his time, but he didn't rush. He was ruled by peace. One thing I've identified, and this has been so helpful for me, I've learned the enemy drives. Jesus never drives. The enemy pushes from behind. It's a push and it's a drive. Jesus leads from the front. Follow me. Do you see the difference? The minute you feel driven, you can be sure the enemy's behind this and I need to stop, reassess, pray about what I need to pray about, invite the Lord to come in and deal with these situations, and let the peace of God reign. Refuse to be driven. We must refuse to be driven, because the minute we start to feel driven, your peace goes out the window. And I want to encourage you to write a list. You know, this is what I do. I write a list of all the things that I have to do. And then I get with the Lord and I say, okay, Lord, help me lighten the load. What things on this list are a priority? What can I shelve? What can I sort of write off the list altogether? What can I do differently? And he'll help you. You know, he's really practical like that. But we've got to go to him and say, Lord, help. There's a scripture, and if you're taking notes, it's well worth taking a note of this one. I love this scripture because I believe it and I've known it work in my life a lot. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Commit your schedule, your to-do list to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. He'll start to order your thoughts differently so you see different ways of doing things. You know, instead of doing it here, I can fit it in there much better. Just reordering. Commit your works to the Lord, your thoughts will be established. Okay, fifth one, complicating things. Oh my goodness, how pressure inducing is that? Very, let me tell you. I used to be an expert at this. And again, it's not something that I've completely conquered, but I am in the process of conquering. And it's a major win to even recognize these things in the first place. As soon as I start to complicate things, I realize I'm on a slippery slope here. Listen, when I used to have people around for a meal, I could never just buy a lasagna from the shop and make a simple salad. I just couldn't do that. Oh, no. I had to clean the house from top to bottom, for starters. I really mean this. Like a spring clean. It wasn't even that dirty in the first place, but no, I had to do it. You know, and everything had to be made from scratch. I would start early in the morning. By the time the guests arrived in the evening, I was literally like one of those cartoon characters. Frazzled. I just needed to lie down, not to be sociable. You know, and interested. Do you know what I mean? You know, complicating things. It steals our peace. And we need to keep things simple. Listen, if I've got one bit of recommendation over Christmas, keep it simple. Keep it simple and avoid overworking things. What is the point of attaining perfection or your view of perfection? You know, if you're kind of sitting in the corner twitching, feeling very tense, and making everybody else feel a bit tense as well. What is the point? There is no point. Let's not complicate things because we don't need to. It's a peace stealer. Final one, indecision. Oh, yes, that old chestnut. Isn't it exhausting? Should I, shouldn't I, will I, won't I, what to do? I don't know. This way, that way, I don't know where to go. James chapter 1. 5-8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let's be humble. I do. I don't know what to do all the time. I don't know what to do most of the time. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, say liberally, generously, without reproach, without finding fault. Oh, you again. Oh, you asked for wisdom last week, didn't listen to it. I'm not giving you wisdom now. Oh, no. Without reproach. Keeps no record of wrong. And it will be given to him or her. But let him ask in faith. Key word. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Oh my goodness, haven't we all felt that? For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Oh my goodness, don't we know about that? You literally feel like you're on that boat, being tossed to and fro. It's tiring. It's exhausting, isn't it, indecision? And the longer it goes on, the more pressurized we feel. And the answer is at the start, in that verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, ask God. Don't go to Google. Don't go to your friends initially. I'm not, you know, in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. I'm not saying don't listen to your friends or people around you who you know to have wisdom. But first of all, go to the only wise one. Ask the Lord. And if there's two of you to decide, go to the Lord. Separately, let me advise. Lay down your own thoughts and ask God and then come together. Well, I've heard this. Well, I've heard that. Let's hope you've heard the same. If you haven't, go again. You know, but just be willing to yield. Don't push for what you want because it all ends in tears. But this indecision thing, it's from the enemy and it brings stress and it brings pressure and you lose your peace. Remember, commit your works to the Lord. Your thoughts will be established. We can hear him speak if we're willing to yield our own push, our own plans. You know, if there's this genuine submission in your heart, he will lead you. I've written it down here, and I think it's important to say, if you don't hear, never move on an amber. Because actually, no decision is better than a bad decision. Don't move on an amber. But God gives us wisdom if we ask. We just need to make sure we do what he tells us to do. Now, you may be able to identify with, I'm sure all of us can identify with some of them. You know, you might be able to identify with all of them. The main thing is that you recognize your own peace dealers. There are so many. You know, I didn't write it down, but pressure to perform, pressure to achieve, pressure to please people, push, push, push. No peace in that. And actually, if you kind of put yourself under pressure to perform and achieve and please people, you end up depending on yourself, not him, actually. And these patterns of behavior open the door to the enemy to steal our peace. So I just encourage you, find some time, get a pen and paper and pray and ask the Lord to turn the light on for you. Lord, what are my peace stealers? Where am I, through my behavior, allowing the enemy in to take what you have given me? You know, we have two options. We can continue to live under pressure until we fall apart, or we can do it God's way. Deal with things God's way, life and circumstances, depending on him. Listening to his voice, letting him lead us, and letting the peace of God rule us. As I was preparing this message, I was thinking, gosh, you know, well, I've realized it before, really, but it just kind of underlined it for me. I think I value peace. It's one of the greatest gifts of salvation. I think it's one of the greatest gifts that Jesus gives, this peace of heart and mind. And I've made this commitment to him and to myself. I refuse to live without it. I value it so much, I don't want to live a day without it. And if I lose it, I want to retrace my steps to find out where and why. You know, did I get anxious? Am I anxious? Sometimes you can be anxious and not even know you're anxious. Do you know what I mean? am I angry with somebody? But we need to make it our goal to get peace back quick. Because peace, my gosh, it's health, it's healing, it's the ability to hear his voice. So you might need to repent, you might need to forgive, you might need to cast your cares, but let me encourage you, do whatever you need to do to get peace back. Because if his peace isn't ruling, pressure will. You will have one or the other. Peace of God, pressure. And one is from the enemy, one is from the Lord. I was thinking about a plastic water bottle. You know when you're on an aeroplane and the pressure changes in the cabin? I think we've got a picture of this. I'm sure we've all seen this. But when the pressure changes in the cabin, it looks squeezed. I always kind of marvel at that. And I always have this thought to myself, well, what the heck's happening to me? You know, that's the bottle. Do you ever think that? We can feel like that. Circumstances make you feel pressed, squeezed, pressurized. But I want you to imagine if that bottle didn't contain water and it contained something solid, you know, like iron, for example, no matter how much that pressure changed, the thing would remain the same. Wouldn't cave. Couldn't cave. Remain the same. If the pressure on the inside is greater than the pressure on the outside, you remain the same, unmoved, unaffected, calm. The peace of God, let me tell you, is powerful. It is a powerful substance that stops you feeling squeezed. It's not that the squeezing doesn't happen. The pressures will come and go. Something else will come, but you remain the same because the peace of God is ruling. But you have to rule. Let me share this example with you. It is a choice. I had a marvelous opportunity to work this message out yesterday because having worked on the message for quite a few days, typed it on my computer, because as you see, I still type and print. I do it the old school way because it works best for me. But anyway, I lost it. Yesterday morning, I turned the computer on. I've called it Pressure Not Peace. Put it in, search box. Puff, gone. Gone. I was like a cartoon character. But you know what? I very quickly, I thought the irony of it is ridiculous. I very quickly made the choice. Right. I refuse to be pressurized by this. I am going to let the peace of God rule right now. I prayed. It kind of was summed up in the word help. 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 I can't really. If I need to, I have to, and I will start from the beginning, but I'd really rather not. Help. Prayed. Got on the phone to San. San, you're not going to believe it? What? It's gone. What's gone? The message's gone. No. Yes. 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 Gone. Can't find the file. Anyway, we agreed in prayer. She told PJ. We all agreed in prayer. San worked some marvellous thing that she can do because the Lord's anointed her. Thank the Lord. We all rejoice and lift our hands in praise to the one who is able through San. And she talked me through and enabled me to retrieve this file. Praise God, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. So I got it. But you know, I had to make the choice. I had to make the choice there and then. I could have lost it, but I didn't. And that was my greatest celebration by the time I got to the end of the day. You know, I was really thankful to have it back. But I was so relieved. I didn't lose my peace. I let the peace of God reign in a pressurized moment. Glory to Jesus. Praise God. But the point is, I prayed. Number one, I resisted the pressure because it was there and screaming, as pressure does. Number two, I prayed. Because it's his job to work, you see? Yeah. And it's our job to trust him to work. Yeah. However, there is a however, it's not all about what he does, right? He does a lot, but we're also called to do what he tells us to do. And sometimes our peace or lack of peace is connected to what we are or what we are not doing. You can't expect to have the peace of God and live like the devil, if I can be as plain as that. You cannot expect to have the peace of God if you're foul-mouthed, bad-tempered, moody. Let me just say that one again. Moody. Oh no. Sometimes pressure in our lives is the result of our own disobedience. Just is. You can't resist the devil, behave like him, and expect the peace of God. You are not going to get the peace of God anytime soon. The Bible says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Whatever you sow, you will reap. If you're sowing the wrong stuff, criticism, judgment, anger, anything that's really against the will of God, you will reap trouble. Circumstances and conditions that you never would have chosen in the cold light of day if you were presented with them. None of us would ever choose the consequences of sin, but we do live in it. If we choose the sin, simple as that, reap what you sow. Sow the right stuff, however, mercy, kindness, patience, encouragement. Holy Spirit gets on that. Yes. And you reap his life, and you reap his grace, and you reap his peace. The mind led by the Spirit is life and peace. God's ways, you've heard me say this before, God's ways get God's results. Right, we're going to finish with this. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 to 11. Finally, all of you, be of one mind. What a miracle. Only with Jesus is that possible. Having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life, say love life, and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. Now, without question, we all want to enjoy our lives, don't we? Who doesn't want to have a good day? Nobody wakes up in the morning hoping for a bad day. I hope I feel miserable today, really. Haven't had a miserable day for a while. No, we want to enjoy our days. We want to, you know, enjoy our lives, have good days. But the point of all of that is Jesus is saying, ball's on your side of the court. Down to how you live and down to how you speak. I know you've heard this lots of times, but I still don't think we've really grasped this. The power of our own words. How we behave and what we allow out of our mouths will determine the kind of day we have. I'm going to say that again. How we behave and what we allow out of our mouths will dictate the kind of day we have. There is no wiggle room. You can't change it. It is as it is. It plays out in your life all the time, whether you're aware of it or not. We're all responsible for ourselves. If we will do good, if we will speak good, we can expect good. If we do bad, if we speak bad, we can expect bad. It's as simple as that. But we're called to blessing. Said it, didn't it? You're called to this. You're called to inherit a blessing. Do good. Speak good. Tr- Treat people as you would like to be treated. Speak to people as you would like to be spoken to. But let me just say this. We need God's help. We need the Holy Spirit. Because we fall short and we run out, let's face it. We can't live to please him without him. But he's amazing. He's a wonderful helper. Who's discovered that for themselves? He's an amazing helper. I am amazed at him, often through me, you know? One of the fruits of him working in our lives is self-control. Everyone say self-control. I never understood that, you know, years ago. I was like, well, why is it self-control? Shouldn't it be Holy Spirit control? No, the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to control yourself. to get a grip, I've written down here. I think that's good. He gives you and I the ability to get a grip. You don't have to lose it. You don't have to voice every thought and feeling that you have. You don't have to do everything you want to do. He gives us the ability to get a grip. Live temperate lives, self-restrained, calm, led, not driven. We get to choose. We can be led. We can be driven. But if we yield to him, we have his ability. And it's not our effort. That's what I'm so thankful for. Because I've discovered that really my efforts, look, they can be hit and miss. But in the end, I always run out of steam. You know? But his fruit, he can produce. It's not my trying, it's my yielding and letting him live through me. It's your yielding and letting him live through you. We're just going to look quickly at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Lovely list, amazing list, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What an amazing list. If you're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, he is in you. You have the ability to excel in every single one of those by simply believing. Believing, you've got patience on the inside of you. You've got an ocean of peace and grace, kindness on the inside of you. Somebody pushes, what's coming out? Grace, kindness, patience. It's all according to what you believe. And, you know, no matter what your experience has been, you know, I realize there's so many different backgrounds here, of course. But no matter what your experience has been, if you will trust in the Holy Spirit in you, he can change anything. He can enable you to beat anything. Addictions, disorders, habits of a lifetime. He's able. As we trust in him, he gives us his ability to do different, to change. You know, sometimes we want our problems to change, but we're not prepared to make a change. Let me say that again. Sometimes we want our problems to change. We want life to be different, but we're not prepared to make a change. If you want the power of God to intervene and the peace of God to rule, you have to make a commitment. Okay, Jesus, I've called you Lord. I've prayed that prayer. Be Lord then. You tell me how to do it, I'll do it. You say, don't do that, I won't do that. If we can go back, hey, I'm going to finish with this. 1 Peter 3, verse 10. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away. There has to be a turning away and a turning to. Turn away from that stuff and turn to. Turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. That's us. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I do not want God's face against me. And if you know him at all, you will not want the face of the Lord against you. But I want us to, I'm going to boil it down to three things, because this is how to overcome pressure and live in peace. First of all, pray. Second of all, say. Thirdly, do. We can all do those three. We can all pray, we can all say, we can all do. We cast our cares, we pray, those things that push us down and make us feel like that water bottle on the aeroplane. Cast your cares. Whatever it is that's pressing you, giving you that divided mind, cast them over. We can all correct our speaking. Yes, you can. You have self-control. You don't have to let all those things out of your mouth. Look, you're going to live in the fruit of it. So wise up, make the decision, and zip it. You remember, you know, probably your parents, I remember hearing, and you probably heard as well, if you haven't got anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. If you haven't got anything good or positive or encouraging to say, do not say anything at all. And don't just sit and stew with a bad heart. Get your bad heart sorted so that good things come out. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Thirdly, do. Look, I am confident this morning, because I've prayed, that the Lord will have helped you identify pressure points in your life. If nothing else, there were six, I think, things on that list. I'm sure one of those will have rung home for you. We need to do different. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to respond to the word now. The Lord always speaks, not just to inform us, but to lead us forward. And I'm sure most of us will need to do all three of those. You know, you might just say, oh, I just need to pray. Well, I think probably not. But anyway, I'm sure you need to do at least one, probably all three of those. And so we're going to take them one by one. And I just want you to close your eyes. God's here. He's been listening. He's heard what you've heard. And he knows your life, and he knows your pressure points, and he knows the stuff going on in your head and your heart, stuff possibly that nobody else even knows. But first of all, I just want to encourage you, cast your cares. Carrying around worry and anxiety and burden, it's not good for us. We're not designed to live like that. You need to be like that fisherman, just cast them out. Throw them over onto the Lord, every one of them. Just say, Lord, I can't carry this. And I know I shouldn't be carrying it. I hand this, be specific, I hand this over to you. This situation, this person, whatever it is. Cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. We heard it earlier in the meeting, we're precious. In his sight, he cares. He cares that you've been weighed down and concerned about that thing. But he doesn't want you to carry it anymore. Hand it over. Like heavy shopping bags, you just hand it over and ask him to work. Work in this situation. Work in this person's life, Lord. Turn things around for good. Thank you, Lord. We just trust you, Jesus, with childlike faith. You say to cast things over, to present our requests, and we give thanks. Before we see the answers, Lord, we give thanks that you will work. You will change things. You'll do what no person can do. Thank you, Lord, for peace that comes when we hand our burdens over. The peace of God that rules your heart and mind. Just receive it now. Just thank him for peace returning to your heart and your mind. Thank you, Jesus. Right, now we're going to sort out speaking. If you're aware of anything, any way of speaking that you know has grieved him, a lot of it, you know, is speaking out things from a natural viewpoint, not considering God, not agreeing with what he says about yourself, about others, situations, circumstances. Words of unbelief, fear, doubt, any sort of negativity. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for thinking it and I'm sorry for speaking it. I shouldn't have done it. I'm wrong and I'm sorry. Just say sorry. Repentance is a change of mind which leads to a change of action. But if we say sorry, you know, he's faithful to forgive. Remove that wrong. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Scripture says. And why don't you pray? Because, gosh, we need to pray this. Lord, thank you for the fruit of self-control. Thank you, you live in me by your Spirit. You've given me self-control. Lord, help me to exercise it better. Thank you that I can. Pray. In fact, why don't you pray, Lord, remind me. Remind me I've got self-control. I don't have to be loose with my mouth. Thank you, Lord, that we can rule over our words and therefore rule over our lives. Thank you, Lord. Okay, we're going to correct our doing then. If you don't know already, I want to encourage you to ask the Lord for one thing. Let's not go for all the birds, just let's hit one. One habit that you know needs to change. One habit that causes you to live under pressure. Might be rushing, trying to do too much, living without boundaries, anything from that list, complicating things. Just ask the Lord, if you don't know already, Lord help me, what is it I need to change? What is the main thing that causes me to live under pressure and lose my peace? He gives grace to the humble. Just submit afresh to him now and pray. Just, I would say sorry, Lord, for allowing the enemy to drive me like that. Thank him that he can and wants to lead you. He's a good shepherd. He leads in peace, yes. With him, we don't have to fear any evil. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Just ask him to remind you now, because this has got to work out in life. If you fall back into that old habit, ask him to remind you to stop and to pray. Not to cave under the pressure, but to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you remind us of the words of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, remind all of us, if we start down that road of any one of these wrong habits, that you will remind us, like a siren will go off, and we will stop in our tracks, and we will pray. We will resist the pressure, and we will pray, and we will let the peace of God rule by faith. And Lord, I pray that we will believe, that the peace is connected to trusting. Help us, Lord, to trust you, not lean on our own understanding, acknowledge you in all our ways, and trust you with anything and everything. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.